B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
There. It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, Friday edition. End of the week is here. That was a long week.
Tough week.
I was like, what day is it?
Tough week.
What's today's day?
I don't even know.
What's tomorrow?
I woke up and said, hey, is it Friday today?
That's a weird week we just had.
That was weird.
I dig it.
That sucks for me.
Bert Breer is with us, MMQB.
Because you have Black Monday every week.
I can't call
during
Black
football
Monday.
Season. Every
can't
week.
Call
during,
Black Monday.
Why not?
Makes you racist. Now.
Racist?
Oh. That's what we hear.
Very, is it problematic? Problematic to call
a number
Black
of blackhead
Monday?
Coaches were fired on Monday.
And Adam Gase.
Therefore, you're not allowed to call it Black Monday anymore.
Wow.
That's what Zoe told me yesterday.
Problematic.
You knew it was coming. I mean, Stephen A. Smith and what was the other one? Shannon Sharp got all over that one.
Yeah.
You knew that was coming.
It's now you
that's
all
easy.
Lose your job.
Easy
Monday.
To go to.
Yeah.
So job loss Monday.
Yeah. I mean, it's always the same amount of work during football season. So if there's like a holiday in the middle of the week, it just means the other 4 days suck more. You know what I mean? So
well, I thought it was pretty good.
We had a good week, though.
Yeah, we did. We had a good week.
All right. So yesterday, Bert, I know you weren't here yesterday, but we opened the show talking about Josh McDaniels.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought on this was Josh McDaniels is not as hot of a head coaching candidate as maybe we had speculated he would be.
Right.
That he is not drawing
that.
The... Thank you. He's not drawing the interest. He is... To the point of yesterday, there was not a single report linking him to the Browns.
Right.
There is now. I'll get to that and whether or not we believe the report. But he's just not in demand to the same level that we thought maybe he would be.
And I think it was always going to be... From Josh's perspective, I think it was always going to be Cleveland and Green Bay. Like, those are going to be the two jobs that he was going to be willing to leave here for. And so, you know, now we've got one of those jobs on the board. He's interviewing down in Foxborough today with the Packers. I mean, I think the Browns' tepid interest is, to me, like, if there's fallout from last year, it's probably the Browns' situation.
Well, we referenced you yesterday in saying that you told us maybe a month ago to watch the Browns situation, and that would be a good way of figuring out what Chris Ballard maybe would have said to John Dorsey about Josh McDaniels.
Right.
If John Dorsey, who is close with Ballard, called him and said, what do you think of McDaniels? How did that all play out last year?
Right.
How that conversation goes among friends may determine whether or not John Dorsey calls and interviews or wants to interview Josh McDaniels for the Cleveland Browns head coaching job.
Right.
And as of yesterday, there were no reports that even vaguely linked him to Cleveland, and now there is. This report coming from a newspaper I've never heard of.
I have, but only because I went to school in Ohio. The Canton Republic.
Oh, you went
the
there?
The Canton Republic. What is that the repository?
No, repository.
Did you know
repository.
He went to school in the state of
now,
Ohio?
I don't know what a repository is, but it's the Canton Repository. It's a repository.
The Canton Repository.
Canton Repository. Right.
not the suppository. The repository.
You have a tough time to go.
And it's from a writer named...
I don't know where we're going now.
Steve Dorshick.
Yep. The longtime Browns beat writer.
Okay. Longtime Browns beat writer,
yep.
Steve Dorshick, who Good writes hunky. For the Canton Repository. He writes, Bill Belichick used Cleveland as a priceless training ground to build an NFL empire in New England. The prospect of Josh McDaniels leveraging Belichick's school of schools to land in Cleveland is more intriguing than ever. McDaniels is enthusiastically interested in the Cleveland opening. I love that line.
Yep.
Enthusiastically interested in the Cleveland opening, meaning he wants that job.
And it's a good job.
the Browns have used back channels to indicate a mutual preliminary interest. That feels sort of a little bit couched there. Preliminary interest. They don't have full-blown interest. Yeah. They don't want to interview him. As it says, they have not invited him to an interview. The Green Bay Packers did, and he said yes. And as you just mentioned, Birdie's interviewing with them today in Foxborough. Enthusiastically interested in the Cleveland opening, and the Browns have used back channels. Apparently, they didn't have to use back channels for the other guys that they want to talk to.
Yeah.
But they're using the back channels for Josh McDaniels, who's already interviewing for other head coaching jobs, according to everybody. Back channels. Do you buy this story?
I think you have to consider where it's from.
Totally do.
Ohio?
Well, not like what paper in Ohio is it from?
A local, smaller paper in Ohio?
What area is it?
Josh McDaniels' area of Ohio? Josh McDaniels' father's area of Ohio? These are all the things I thought of. When I read this, I said, oh, this is from the McDaniels camp. This is from Josh and his dad and whoever else is out there talking.
I mean,
begging? It sounds like he's begging. I read that and I go, oh, this is not a good look. Now you're begging for the Cleveland job. They haven't called you. They haven't put you on the list yet.
I don't know.
Begging.
I don't know. Look, I don't know if
through the Canton repository.
What I would say is I do think the Cleveland job would be at the top of his list. I think the Cleveland job is at the top of a lot of other people's lists too. I look at this and it's like, I think he sees this and he knows that he's got a good shot at the Green Bay job, and maybe this is a way of trying to smoke whatever interest Cleveland has out, right? Like I want to know at least the landscape of Cleveland before I go into this with Green Bay. I don't want to find out in a week, because I think Cleveland, the other moving piece here with Cleveland is, now you've seen them sort of cycle through some mediocre candidates there, right? And you've seen them push McCarthy's interview off to next week. Mm-hmm. Sometimes this sort of thing happens.
They're in no rush right now.
Sometimes this sort of thing happens when you're quietly working on a candidate. Mm-hmm. And I would not be surprised if there's someone like Matt Campbell from Iowa State that maybe they're working on right now, and I'm just telling you, maybe they've pushed some other candidates off, and they're going through the motions with some candidates that they're not going to hire right now.
Unless there's also the relationship that Bill has with the organization, where he does a lot of trades with them, and it's sort of an open door thing.
Yeah,
I told him this yesterday, Beetle, that it was an interesting offseason last year, how hidden they kept McDaniels, and from what I was told, he was humping it. Going out, working out guys, doing homework on quarterbacks.
But that's not interviewing with other teams.
To keep it quiet, this could be sort of the same similar situation where, okay, Green Bay wants to interview. I'm going to respect the process. Bill has a ton of respect for what goes on at Green Bay, the history there with Wolf, the whole organization. I love Green Bay. He loves Green Bay, you know, that whole thing. And it's sort of the step one of, okay, the way I screwed this thing up last year, I'm going to put it out there and I'm going to go interview, do it with Green Bay. I'm interested in it. But if they really want to know how this thing went down last year, I'm willing to take this interview with them, tell them how it went down, because I respect the Packers that much. And he could quietly be working on something with Cleveland that we don't know about.
I think Packers.
Why would it be kept?
I think he's
picky. Why would it be kept quiet, though?
Perception. I do believe this. I think there are only two jobs he was interested in in this cycle. I think it's Green Bay, and I think it's Cleveland. And I honestly think that what we're seeing in the Canton paper, there may be a method, and I'm not going to accuse anyone of leaking it. I don't know specifically who talked to the Canton paper or anything like that. But this, like, may be, again, a way of, if you're going into that interview with Green Bay and things go great today, and the ball starts rolling down the hill, wouldn't you want to have a decent idea of what the landscape is elsewhere with the other job that you might have an interest in?
Or the job you have the most interest in. And you want to use it as leverage to try and get yourself an interview? I'm going to pick these guys.
What's his last shot?
Or it's just wanting to know the landscape, right? It may just be, before I sit here and take the Packer job, or before I progress the point, if if the interview with Green Bay goes really well, because now we know Green Bay got shot down by Pat Fitzgerald, who I think was another name that was at the top of their list, right? So now, Green Bay may be at the point where it's like, all right, like, we're ready to, like, if we really fall in love with somebody, maybe maybe things start accelerating. Green Bay goes in with that attitude. Josh McDaniels wants to go in. If I'm Josh McDaniels, I want to go in with an idea of what's happening elsewhere. And this may be a way of trying to smoke any interest that Cleveland has out.
Right. And if he doesn't end up being the choice in Green Bay, I mean, I think it's good for the Patriots if he doesn't leave.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's better if he stays. I think it's better for this franchise if he's here.
And I think it's for the same
reason. And so I'm sort of happy that Cleveland wants nothing to do with him.
And Beadle, it's the same thing. It's like for the same reason that Green Bay is interested in him, that's why it would be important to keep him. Because the reason Green Bay is interested in him, and I've said this a few times over the last week, coaching Aaron Rodgers is a challenge. Coaching Aaron Rodgers is difficult. It's tough. And when they go out there and they look at candidates, like, who can challenge Aaron Rodgers? Who can give Aaron Rodgers new information? Who can teach Aaron Rodgers at the level he has to be taught at? With almost any other candidate out there, they are projecting somebody into that role. With Josh McDaniels, you don't have to project. He's been coaching a guy at that level forever. Like, he's been coaching Tom Brady forever, right? So he's one of the few guys that that Green Bay can look across the table at and say, this guy's actually done it. Like, we don't need to project how's this guy going to be with a quarterback at that level. He's been with a quarterback at that level. So that's why he's interesting. And that's why Green Bay has the level of interest they have in McDaniels. And the flip side of it, though, is that's why it's so important to the Patriots to do everything that they possibly can to keep him, because it'd be very, very difficult to find someone else who's capable of coaching Brady.
Yeah, nobody knows how much Bill had in him returning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if he did, then it's a delicate situation where he's got to be respectful for Bill in this whole process.
Right.
And how do we handle this, Bill? Yeah, I think you're in cahoots.
Yeah.
I think they're all on the same side here.
It's like, I just think if you lose McDaniels, who is going to coach Tom Brady?
Himself. He's going to take care of it all by himself. It's going to be him.
Who's the guy? Like, seriously, like who do you have on the staff right now that can challenge Tom Brady, that Tom Brady respects enough to have like the scene with Bill O'Brien, right? The scene with Bill O'Brien where they're yelling at each other. Hey, like, who has how are you going to find somebody who can be that guy to Brady?
Won't be easy. That's why it's better the Packers don't want McDaniels, if the interview doesn't go well today, and if Cleveland doesn't want him. Feels like he's begging for the interview now.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
Yeah! Yes! This is new. New for the new year. Happy New Year!
Bert Breer is with us. He's brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, where free means free. Free online banking and debit card.
Segment, huh? Is that what you said? Why don't you say it on air? So you didn't think I talked?
Maybe you'll talk more this segment.
So you don't think I talked last segment?
No, at one point I said, wait, what's Zoe doing right now?
Oh boy. Instead of having a conversation.
Here we go.
Allowing a third man in? Wow. Did you think I didn't
talk? Oh, you allowed him in.
Thought it was good.
Oh, okay.
Thought you're fine. Thought everybody was good.
I'll start talking.
Everybody did a great job. Hardy, I thought everyone was doing a great job.
I literally did not speak in the first segment because that would have been one voice too many, but
we were getting information from Bert there, I thought.
Jeez. Wow.
Okay. Oh, we were rifling through it.
Bert Breer is brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, where free means free. Free online banking and debit card, no minimum balance, and no monthly fee. Visit rfcu.com today and find a location near you.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing today?
What's happening?
You went to Ohio State, huh?
Tomorrow. I did. Cool. I was giving you guys a little Ohio geography lesson there in the first break.
Yeah.
Canton is about 60 miles south of Cleveland, hometown of Josh McDaniels.
That's nice. When are we doing this Gase thing?
What Gase thing?
You're like, oh, it's such a perfect setup for the Jets. Adam Gase going to the Jets with Sam Darnold.
Oh, you want to do that now?
Yeah, let's do it now.
Let's do it now.
Tell me why it's so good.
Because I think that he is...
Big city.
I think it's that. Like, I think he's equipped to deal with the New York media, everything that comes with New York. He's a good quarterbacks guy, which I think is a plus.
I think he's a good quarterbacks guy. I think his hands are tied down there.
He's always gotten the most out of – like, I feel like he got the most out of Tannehill.
He got the most numbers out of Tannehill.
Right, okay. He got a good year out of Cutler in 15. Obviously he didn't make Peyton Manning, but the record-breaking year was with Gase as his OC. And he was integral to making what they were able to make of Tebow in 2011. So he's always been able to sort of build an offense around a quarterback. And if you got, I think Sam Darnold's got a lot of promise. I don't know how you feel.
The whole game, and I know other people are ripping him. I said, just watch the way he sits in the pocket, the way he looks, the way the ball comes out of the hand, night and day. Like, it ain't even close between he and Josh Allen.
Yeah, he's like, a big kid.
He and I came away from the Buffalo game like, hey, Buffalo, good luck. You're still looking. You come away from the Jets game, even though you kicked the Jets' ass, 38-3.
Yeah.
They got their guy.
Yeah. I mean, there was one throw he made on the sideline to Burnett that he just dropped in there that was gorgeous. And you're seeing a couple of those in every game. So I think Adam Gase would be a good fit for what the Jets need right now. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all. Nothing more, nothing less.
His little skinny jeans.
Nothing more, nothing less. So is Brian Flores leaving? Is he going to find a job? Is he going to get hired?
I've heard a lot of people say this. Okay, I've heard a lot of people say.
What have they said?
He should wait. Do you guys think he should wait?
No, why wait? If you get a good job offer with a good, like a good.
Just take a job.
No, you never want to do that. But
here's the problem with that.
He's got four different teams. You're telling me that if four different teams interview and one of them that you thought might have been.
You don't know where the offer's coming from. But here's what you're saying. Did I do it?
Yeah, you did.
Did I do it?
You definitely did. Here's my only thing.
I did like the Elmer Fudd thing or whatever it is that I do.
A bad team might still be a good situation. Yeah. You know that. Might have good ownership. You might have a good GM to work with. You might have a good situation, even if you're taking over a bad team.
I'm not saying you go into a crappy situation, okay? Like, there may be one or two that you'd say no to. I think we forget about the money sometimes. And that's, I don't think that can be overlooked. Because, look, $25 million guaranteed is $25 million guaranteed. And if you're Brian Flores and you're 37 years old, that is life-changing money. And so even if it's not an ideal situation, I think it's so hard to walk away from that.
Totally. He should take it.
I mean, if you're offered one of these, a standard rate for a new head coach, maybe somewhere around 25 over 5, you know,
let's say it's 4 over 4. Let's say it's not 25. It's
16
let's
over 4.
Let's say it's $16 million. Oh, yeah, I'll take that. Thank you very much.
I mean, you know what I do? That. If they fire you.
If
they fire you in a year, if they fire you after a year, all right, fine, goodbye.
But, I mean, if you see 16 and comparative to what other guys are getting and some of these other clowns in this league, if he's seeing 16, he knows I'm already at 16. Maybe I should wait another year and I could get that thing up to 25 to 30.
Could be, but like you don't know. You don't know.
Well, look at this league. There's 8 openings this year.
Yeah, I just think that.
Okay,
if
he waits, he shouldn't wait long. Can we put it that way?
Yeah, you take the bird in the hand.
Yeah.
Like Josh is in a different situation because he's already
been a head coach.
He's already been a head coach once. He's like very well paid here now. Like, it's just that's a different situation where he's already had his first shot. When you're looking at your second shot, then your attitude's got to be, all right, that's the money in the bank.
I would say this.
And
these teams should want to hire McDaniels. They should want to hire a guy like Brian Flores.
Yeah.
Young, fresh blood. Like, that to me is huge in this league. They're finally starting to break out of that mold of who's out there who's been a head coach.
What about Pittsburgh?
Like,
what about
just
Pittsburgh?
The retread situation in the league. I think that trend is sort of going away. And, Bert, as I know you've written about, there's a lot of teams that have hired young coaches. Look at Chicago, right?
Yep.
And they've had success right away,
yeah,
which is both good in that more young coaches, more fresh names will be hired, and bad in that the expectations are going to be higher.
Right.
You got to win right away. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the expectations are absurd, like the situation
it's not fair
in Arizona
sometimes.
With Steve Wilkes getting fired, which should be an embarrassment to their franchise. It's an embarrassment to the league. Steve Kime should be fired already.
What I think happens in those situations, I'm telling you, it lines right up with, like, you guys know these consulting firms. It's the biggest racket in the world, right?
The scams, like the money those firms make,
like the coach search firms. Like, you look at it, it's like the Chiefs hired one and got Andy Reid. It's like wait
you
a second.
Like, you need a firm to find like, Andy Reid?
Right, right. Like
he's a big guy. You can find him.
The Texans hired one. They got Bill O'Brien. It's like Bill O'Brien was at Penn State. He was on ESPN every weekend.
Penn State's ass.
He was at ESPN.
Oh, let's hire a firm to get us an email for him.
Wow. Bill O'Brien went from a half full stadium to 108,000.
The one, okay. You know what they use him for in college a lot of times? Is for sort of the no, you stay away out of any tampering,
right.
Or they keep themselves clean.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Oh,
we didn't talk to that candidate.
Yeah.
Someone else talked to the candidate on our behalf.
Right. In the NFL.
Or you don't want a dirty Urban
but
Meyer.
You know what? Like, here's the thing is in the NFL, I think it's in the NFL, a lot of times those firms get hired because the owner wants to be able to point the finger somewhere else. Like,
I didn't try and poach your guy. The firm did.
Right? Even beyond that, it's like, well, you know, it's sort of my fault, but then this guy over here told me to hire him. So that's sort of on them, too. And so I think there's part of that with the idea of cleaning house, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you – like, no one's blaming Michael Bidwell, the owner of the Cardinals, for the Steve Wilks hire. Who's everyone blaming? Everyone's blaming Steve Kine. If he blows it up, then it's all on him.
But now it's on the owner. But now any screw ups going forward
the reason why you have these half measures sometimes fire the coach, keep the GM, fire the coach. Like the reason these half measures exist is because in a lot of cases the owner is afraid of blowing it up because then it's all on them to find a new GM, to find a new coach, and they'd rather have someone else with them that ultimately can be accountable alongside them.
And it goes to show
it sounds stupid, but it's real.
And they got stuck with Carson Palmer too. So it goes to show you, you're better off going the young quarterback route and sort of developing that guy and trying to hit your wagon to that as opposed to these older guys that are retreads that are going to be making a ton of money.
Yeah.
I'll never forget going out there when it was a Garoppolo game. You remember the state of the Arizona Cardinals and how big that opening night was.
They were coming off
it was the opening night. We were on the road out in Arizona. We opened up at
Arizona. They were coming off of like they'd been in a championship game the year before.
This was like the game for them, and this is going to get them going in the right direction. And Garoppolo pulls off that win, and that organization hasn't been the same since that.
Right,
like they've gone downhill since that game.
Well, they got old in a hurry.
Yeah,
like they got old in a hurry.
Yep.
617-779-0985. Let's get in a call. Gary's in Braintree. Gary,
hi Gary.
Morning, boys. How you doing?
What's up?
Good. I just wanted to throw this out here. I think Josh has already got a job right at New England. I don't think Bill is going to leave, you know, without giving a notice. So I think he's pretty much already given his notice. That's why Josh was pulled back in last year. What do you think?
I think people have talked about that. I think there are people that do believe that.
Bert doesn't believe in that.
From a technical standpoint.
I don't believe that there was... I believe Josh McDaniels would be the favorite if Bill walked away tomorrow
right
or next? Yeah, of course he would be. Absolutely. And I think there's a good chance that he'd be the next head coach. To my knowledge, there is no agreement.
You've always sort of indicated to us that last year was more about...
The Colts
blowing up and less about coming
I think
back
it was more about the. It was more about the circumstances in Indianapolis than anything else. Like it was more about the way the organization was structured. And I'm not saying Josh wanted to pick the players. I just think it was more about the way the organization was set up and structured. And I will tell you this, like having talked to Chris Ballard about this, I get the feeling that both sides walked away and said, you know what? Like maybe this wouldn't have worked out. And Ballard winds up walking away with Frank Reich, who has been very good in year one. And, you know, Josh winds up in Cleveland or Green Bay, that's not a bad result for him either.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Both of his team's coordinators are going to be interviewing for head coaching jobs this weekend. Several players like Chris Hogan, Phil Dorsett are going to be free agents after the season. There's rumor or talk about Rob Gronkowski retiring after the year. Does this feel like this playoff run is going to be the last go-around for this group that you guys have had here for the last few years?
I think that, you know, every year things change in the NFL, and this 18 team won't be the same as 19, and the 17 team wasn't the same as this team, and the 16 team wasn't the same as 17. It's just, I think one thing that's certain in the NFL is change, and coaches, players. I don't think it's a big secret that, you know, people are just moving on. And, you know, different people leave for different reasons. Over the years, I've seen it all, 19 years. And you just do the best you can do. You just, when you sign up to be a part of the team, you give everything you can to help the team win. And I think that's what I've enjoyed most about this organization.
Attaboy, love!
You're putting me in my place.
Yeah, get your head out of here, you know what.
Do you know what we're all guilty of?
What?
All of us? We're all guilty of...
looking at our phones too much?
That, for sure. Yeah. Did you hear the phone in that clip?
Yeah.
Was that... That wasn't here, right?
No. That was
in the
conference.
Recording. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's probably Benditson filming himself.
So, we're all guilty of...
Is this
the
Will Friday?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, 2 Minute Will. Nice. It's coming up.
He is?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
What's he previewing?
He's previewing, I don't know.
Wildcard Weekend?
You know what? Yeah. Shouldn't have him on to preview anything.
No.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No, executive decision.
Wow, canceled?
No, not canceled. Just not.
No, never scheduled.
Never confirmed.
Never was scheduled.
It's been a weird week.
Did you run that by Jim?
It's been a weird week.
I know you've been very critical of Jim today.
Jim attacked me first, so, I mean.
Just saying. You should have run that by the producer of the program.
Yeah. Does a great job.
We're all guilty of this. We read into what people are saying right now too much because when it comes to Belichick, Brady, this comment from him is sort of picking up steam.
I think he's trying to give
it's
you something
evergreen.
Without giving
like,
you
it's
something.
So bland. I mean, he's not really saying anything.
It's a bye week. I'm standing
that's
here.
How
what do you want me to say? I've been here for 20 years.
He knows next year will be different.
We're talking about turnover with this guy to start the show with 8 job openings. Yeah, I've seen changes.
Every job. And then every year is different. Changes. Every year is different. And look,
we say, he said this before. Well, yeah, but he didn't say it before when he was close to the end.
Yeah. Like,
no, he said it before. It's the same boring quote that he would give you a year ago. There's nothing to be
the problem.
Nothing to read into
there. The problem with them saying nothing is that causes us to read into everything. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
it's
because
like,
you feel like it's all a secret. They're trying to tell us things.
There's smoke. There's something in there, and we're going to look for it and find it, and there it is.
So that was Brady on next year. We had Jonathan Kraft on the show yesterday. We announced an extension of our agreement with the Patriots to broadcast the games right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We will continue to be the home of the Patriots for a very, very long time.
Very long.
Many, many years. With that being said,
I'll be gray.
You already are.
I get it fixed a little bit.
Yeah. Here's what.
I'll be grayer.
Here was the question and answer on Tom Brady's future. Now that 98.5 The Sports Hub has received a long term contract extension, I believe it's only natural to think Tom Brady is next, right?
Tom Brady is. Listen, yeah. Look, Tom. I'm only hesitating because there aren't adjectives to describe how exceptional he is.
Of course.
And anybody who doubts that, anybody, no, I'm not, anybody who doubts that is, you know, doesn't understand things. Tom's under contract for next year, and I think hopefully people have seen that, you know, there's a real understanding between all of us about how that situation is going to work into the future. And Tom, we're so lucky to have him as the quarterback and the leader of our football team. He was the MVP of the league last year, or whatever. Not that that matters. And I read something he said last week because someone asked him about statistics. He said, all I care about is wins. And that's why he's Tom Brady. And that's why you wouldn't want anybody else quarterbacking your football team.
Very diplomatic.
And understanding.
And just a beautiful, beautiful segue by you, Beetle.
Oh, yeah, he didn't see that one coming.
Like, that was the left hook right there coming out of nowhere.
Well, now that we're done, what about Brady? You going to give him one?
Yeah.
So there was the part that I found in there that you called it diplomatic. The part I found that had some substance and maybe some teeth was there's an understanding about the future and how it's going to go between us and Brady. Now, that may not mean they've got dollar amounts figured out or they know how it's going to be handled this offseason, whether it be an extension or they let him play.
Usually that means it's going to be handled.
This is what I believe that answer was. As I said yesterday, don't worry about it. And that
we'll figure it out.
Yeah, it'll be figured out. And it also tells me the most important part. Yeah, we're not letting him leave because Brady can't just get up and leave on his own. It's not up to him. They're not going to let him leave. Sorry, you're going to play the rest of your days here.
But he's got to play well.
Right.
I mean, there's a give and take there. You've got to play. You got to play well. You got to play well enough.
But I mean,
you can't throw touchdowns.
Well, we're already at the point though where we have. I mean, barring an injury, we've got all the information. We got pretty much all the information we're going to have. Right.
Yeah.
Like pretty much, we know now what they're going to like the base of information that they're going to go into the offseason with as it relates to making a decision on him as a player. Right.
Yeah.
So like now the question is, what does he want to do and what does the team want to do? And he's going into a contract year. I actually misspoke this morning. I thought it was that this was the first time they'd gone into a contract or gone this far. They actually did in 2010. Ahead of the new CBA. So
yeah, it was that was last year. I remember
yeah.
camp he was talking about. Yeah.
That was his last year. That was going into the last year of his contract. So I like the issue to me now is like how much does Brady want to push it? It's not so much the team. It's does Brady go in there and say, you know what? Like we need to correct this. We need to correct how I'm being paid. He has all the leverage because Garoppolo's gone, because of the way the team's structured going forward, because of the age of the roster. Like he has them over a barrel because if they were to lose him, then they're off in the wilderness with.
I agree with that to an extent because I think the playoffs are a different animal.
Right.
Where like experience is huge. The game, even Super Bowl Sunday, he talks about how long that day is and how. Yeah, we were down by 25, but yet I knew that we were wearing them down. Nobody says that.
Right.
Like, nobody says that unless you've been there and you could talk about it. Say the way Week 16 happened or Week 17 against the Jets is a snippet of potentially what they can be offensively in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Say, you know, I thought that was the best Gronkowski looked running.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch it on TV, I don't think people who saw the game on TV and you watch him move and you saw him swat the one guy, run the other one over.
Yeah.
The one that got called back, you know what I'm talking about. But him blocking 15 yards downfield on people. He was engaged mentally, meaning I think he's trying to get rid
of He's trying to summon what he can summon.
Say the quarterback gets hot in the playoffs, and they go on a run.
Yep.
You want to talk about it. You think he has leverage now?
Right.
Yeah, and this is sort of the way to advance it.
I still think it needs to be written in three games.
This is as far off as he's been from, like, going back to like when he was first playing, this is the furthest his contract has been from where the market is. Like, this is the farthest they've been. So the gap between what he's making and what the top quarterbacks are making has never been greater. His deal right now is worth, like, the APY average per year is right at about $15 million. Aaron Rodgers' contract is $32.5 million. Kirk Cousins' contract is $28 million. Huh. Matt Ryan's contract is $30 million.
Like, he is making, and a half.
He is making half of what the top quarterbacks are making right now. So does he go in and does he say, I want what they're getting? Or does he do what Drew Brees did, which Drew Brees had for his entire career always taken top dollar, right? And finally, which is different than what Brady's done. Last year he said, okay, I'm going to cut you a break. I'm not leaving. Let's just do something that's fair. And he did a deal at $25 million per year, which is a lot, but like still markedly less than what the top quarterbacks were getting and what he could have gotten if he had actually tested the market.
Right. And Zoe's right. What if he goes on a run? What if he gets hot in the playoffs? What if you get to the offseason?
Yep.
And the offers are not what's fair. Let's say a Drew Brees type of number where it's 25.
This bye week can help
more
him the
than
most
what it
on
is
anybody.
Now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
If it's not in that department, if you're Brady, you know what happens. Okay.
And I'm just saying this because
I disengage.
Yep.
I'll play out the year, and then a year from now, you're going to be in trouble.
And I think there was a big jump from 16 to 17, meaning the Bills game to the Jets game. He looked healthier in that final game than he did against the Bills.
Right.
He looked a little more stiff against the Bills.
He's got the ultimate leverage, too.
Now he's got five days to get away.
The ultimate leverage, too, is like he can say to them, I'll take my ball and go home, and they have to take him seriously. Like no other players in the middle of their career can't do. Like a guy in the middle of his career, that's not like, that's not like a real thing, right? This is a real thing.
I could do a Gronk thing. He could go to the offseason and they say,
I've been keeping her at bay. Now I got issues at home.
Like, Beyonce's like, Beyonce,
you could say, I'm going home. I'm done.
Right.
You don't want to pay me. I'm just going to stop playing.
Right.
I get too few
and
years.
They have to take it seriously.
Anyway. I don't think it's worth the risk.
Right.
And then they have to. You know, Giselle's
been in my ear. And
let's say that doesn't happen. Let's say he says, well, I'm going to play out the year and we'll get to the end and you'll have to either tag me or we'll have to talk about another deal. That's also a risk for him at 42 years old.
Sure.
That's a huge risk. You could go out. You could get hurt. Your play could drop. Anything could happen in a year.
Sure.
So.
But he's already made
it's something
money.
To watch.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song.
Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Time now for the football card on a abbreviated weekend. It's the playoffs. There are four games. Zoe's laughing at something. What?
I just always laugh how bad our picks go. Because of Tom.
Tom's going to go last because I guess in chronological order.
What about playoff executive decision we don't let him pick?
Well, as I've told our listeners a number of times, you can choose to not use Tom's pick. You can bet the other games
smart.
And choose not to use his pick. It's free advice.
All right,
we don't charge for this.
We feel pretty hot, though.
And we're not that good. I think we've won. Have we won it all this year? On any of these parlays.
If you didn't use Tom's picks all season, you would have only won once, I think.
All right.
So
that's one more time than we won with him. My pick is the first game of the weekend.
Ooh, right out of the gate.
Texans minus one. Thank you.
I like it.
Done.
I'm taking that game, too.
What is that, Bert? That sounds like some doubt from you.
I mean, what was that?
The Texans got handled by the Colts last time they played.
Okay.
But is this where we want to drop that weird stat?
No.
No?
Hang on to that.
No stats. Not a stat-based show. We're a feel.
Bert's got a good nugget for you in Read and React.
Instinct.
About that game.
We're a stat-based show. I mean, everybody goes gaga over quarterback rating, which I think is a BS.
Texans minus one.
And over 48.5 in that game.
Oh, that's your
my
pick.
Pick.
Shoot it.
Over 48.5 in that game. Nice.
Yes. I don't trust either defense, though, in that game. I like both quarterbacks.
I think Luck's going to play really well in that game.
That's really gone out on a limb. Let's see, 9-1.
And either guy, if they're down.
Hottest quarterback, Goldberg. I think Lex can play really well.
Both of those are comeback quarterbacks, so if that game's not over fourth quarter, it has a chance to go over.
The key there is the Colts Watson's offensive good. Line being able to block Clowney and
you know
a lot. And
Clowney's big.
Thanks, so.
Hey, Watt can be a force coming off the edge.
You ever see Merciless come up the middle?
All right. Texans minus one in the over, 48.5. Hardy.
What's the over in the Seahawks-Dallas game,
43.5.
All right, listen to me. Seahawks, in their last five games, have scored 43, 21, 23, 38, and 27. Cowboys, go back their last four. They've scored 28. Oh, they got shut out. And then 27, and then 36. The number's too low. We're going over.
Over.
Just forget about that shutout to the Colts and wipe that from your memory.
So we've got the over in both games on Saturday.
Yes.
Okay.
Over.
Over in both games. Texas minus one. Zoe, your pick.
Ooh. And we're going to talk to RJ Bell later in the show, correct?
Yes, we are.
And I look at this line earlier in the week. Seattle was getting like 2.5, 3 points. Now all of a sudden that line's down to 1.5.
I see two.
The money line. Jim said one. Jim's going with 1.5.
One and a half. Yep. Yours?
I'll still take Seattle getting 1.5. I think they're going to win that game.
I like it. I like that. It's a good pick because I trust Russell Wilson
Vegas
more than
knows.
I trust Dak Prescott.
I do too.
Russell Wilson. Thinks he's a winner.
You like that? I'm going to give you guys all kinds of original takes here.
That Carson kid runs hard. I think if they can run it, they can get downfield. Ball is going to come up big. Pete rebuilt that defense, man.
Those two teams are mirror images of each other.
I just want to tell you
that
we were all rooting for
that. Yep.
We were all rooting for this because I want to see a Pete Carroll post-game locker room speech.
I like it. Those are the best
when they win in the playoffs.
I'll give you a little something. Yeah. You want me to give you a little pick here? I'll give you a little pick here.
What do you got?
Chargers going across the country plus 2.5. Here's an interesting nugget here.
That's
okay?
What I get on my screen.
The Ravens changed their offense in midseason to accommodate Lamar Jackson, right?
Burt just added a pick to the parlay.
Last seven games, right? They've been great.
Yeah.
this is going to be the first team to see them twice. So this is going to be the first time that Lamar Jackson and that offense have had to go up against a defense a second time. They're doing all those unique, different Navy-type stuff. Yep. Like all that, all the triple option stuff and everything else. I just have this sneaking feeling that the Chargers are going to be the first team that's going to be able to say, you know what? We know what you're doing here and here and here, and we're going to make we found a way to make Lamar Jackson beat us through the air.
See, the my gut reaction when that schedule first came out of the four playoffs games this weekend, I said it wouldn't shock me one bit if all road teams win.
I know.
It really
that was honestly that's
but
why
I'm
I picked
for the Texans to come here. That's why I'm picking.
That's why I picked the Bears, because I picked the other three road teams, and I'm like, I gotta pick one of the home teams, so I picked Chicago over.
So you like all the older quarterbacks then, Bert. You like
is that right?
Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, Philip Rivers.
Yeah.
You
don't
like the young kids.
There you go.
No.
Yep. But I went with Trubisky.
Andrew Luck is one of the old quarterbacks.
I went with Trubisky and his terrible beard. Have you guys seen that thing?
They win in spite of him.
Trubisky's beard? No.
Oh, it's awful.
Is it worse than Edelman's?
It's terrible. It can't be
worse than Edelman's.
It's what it would look like
Edelman's
if I tried to grow one.
Facial hair grown outside of his like eyes.
Yeah, no, this is like the opposite of that. This is like it's only growing like down here. So he looks like the fighting Irish guy with like a really weak mustache.
Oh, yeah.
You see,
all right, that leaves us with T-Bone.
Yeah, leprechaun.
It doesn't really connect. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Leprechaun beard.
T-Bone, what do you got?
All right, I'm going to stick with that game, actually. In the pros, I'm not going to go college this week.
No Eastern Washington,
no.
North Dakota State action?
It wasn't on the docket. In that game, I think the Chargers... Can I talk?
Can you?
Apparently not.
Obviously not.
All right, over 41.5.
Chargers. I don't even know what game he's talking about.
Chargers-Ravens.
I forget what he's talking about as he's
I
talking
hate
about.
That pick.
The over and that, yeah.
Oh, I think Chargers get like a 10-point lead.
Blows.
Sit on it.
Yeah.
You're going to kill us.
Your pick sucks.
Change it.
You blow.
Let's get rid of Tom's pick.
This is so bad.
Let's pretend like this didn't happen.
You know what? That's his worst pick of the year.
Yeah, but Hardy, let me tell you this.
As bad as his picks have been.
If we risk 10, the payoff without Tom's pick is like 230.
That's good enough for me.
Can we do two different picks where we do one with Tom and one without Tom?
It's 475.
Well, let's do two.
No, that's because the computer knows how stupid of a pick that is.
Right.
The mathematical equation comes out as, oh, look at this idiot.
That's like saying the Blackhawks are going to win a cup this
year. We'll tease him with all this money that they'll never win.
Maybe.
Do it both. Do one with, one without.
Each five? Each 10?
Each five.
All right.
That's what we'll do.
So I get to take a segment off. Zoe took a segment off earlier.
Wow. Your day too, huh?
Wow.
Wow. Happy New Year, everyone.
It's only been a three-day week, too.
Wow. How can we? I'm just happy I'm not involved in any of it. Hardy, you're in the clear.
I blame you.
What did I do?
Hey, Joe, listen to this rejoin. That's what it started.
Zoe's agitated today. Zoe's agitated.
Zoe came in
from the
fire.
Get-go. He was agitated before the show even started.
Why don't you put it all over
me at the beginning?
Why don't you put it all over do expenses
play the awful one by Led Zeppelin.
Zoe did expenses this morning.
I just talked to HR about my expenses.
I just filed some expenses myself.
It's good people.
I got a short extension to be able to gather them all.
Good people.
Sure. Very brief extension. Very brief.
This is a true story.
Put it off of Led Zeppelin.
My expenses being late was such a problem at NFL Network that they had to. There's like a new policy that went in place after I left there.
They call it the Bert Breer expense policy.
It's the Breer rule. Like you have to get your expenses in within 30 days.
Oh my god!
Something.
When did you do that one where you documented it? Like you filmed all your expenses out.
That was awful. You remember
was that a year ago?
Camp expenses. It's like a mountain of receipts.
Hours.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Oh.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.